This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, it's Campsite Dream with September. You remember the old original? Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons.
Good egg.
I'm going to say predictable here. Screw these people. They can wake up in the morning and go, I'm going to be better than Earth, Wind and Fire. What an absolute...
What a cheek. Ben, you're a purist. You want the original artist.
No, but I mean, that's just... I'm going to go outside.
Well, while Ben is here, by the way, it's just after 7 o'clock, cliffcentral.com, on a Friday morning. We're well into January now, and there's lots to do. There's plenty of people to talk to, and we've got a hell of a year ahead. We've got some interesting things happening. It's No Politics Friday, which is my favorite day of the week. A couple of questions for Ben from Quentin in Namibia.
Yep.
Quentin says, first of all, even during his shit playing days, Earl Rose used to be very common. And he also says, Ben, have you read the book Legacy? It's about the All Blacks culture and success. It's a very good book.
I haven't, but there's been so much smoke blown up the All Blacks arsehole that I'm pretty sure what every page is about.
Okay, so you think it's just sycophancy?
No, they are. There's a reason why they've been the best for so long, because they are great, they're fantastic, but you know, you hear so much of that.
All right.
But thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Quentin. Always welcome to give us your feedback. 079-748-2090. That's if you're on WhatsApp or on Telegram or on Twitter. It all pitches up on the screen in front of us. All you have to do is tag us in your tweets at cliffcentral.com or 079-748-2090. We receive all your messages. I just don't read all of them because we don't always have time. And frankly, some of them are boring. It is just about time for Leanne to fill us in on some of the things we may have missed this week. And Leanne has scoured the internet to find interesting things that may be the kind of topic you'll bring up at the coffee machine with someone in the office that you don't really like, but you need to have something to say to.
Topic?
Yeah, you might go up to the coffee machine and you're standing there and you're adding your milk and your sugar and you've got 0.56 of a minute and you have to have some words with a colleague who you don't necessarily know that much about. What are you going to tell them? What will you tell them this Friday?
Yeah. Got to have something to talk about.
So what would you say if you walked up and let's say it was someone you didn't really like and you had to talk to them about something? What would you discuss that's in the news?
I might say, do you know who the most powerful person in Silicon Valley is?
Now, that's a good discussion. Because, you see, I would have said Jeff Bezos up to a week ago, but now I don't think he's the most powerful because he's kind of reminded us all that he's human too, all his foibles.
Would you have said Mark Zuckerberg or maybe Elon Musk?
Yeah, I'd say Elon Musk. Elon Musk wields a lot of influence in Silicon Valley. They call him like the real-life Iron Man, and he owns all these companies that are trying to make the world better. I'd say it would be Elon Musk.
Well, it's not.
Oh.
But I mean, how do you measure it anyway?
Well, you could measure it in a number of ways. It's wealth. It's ability to, like, I think Elon Musk can call pretty much anyone he wants to and they'll answer.
And I would say influence as well. If it's about power, power you have over change, over other people.
Sure, absolutely. Influence. Yeah. Any guesses before we let Leanne spoil the surprise for us? Because this is really something that would keep me talking to you at the coffee machine. maybe Tim Cook from Apple? He's quite influential.
Not him, unfortunately.
The Google guys, Sergey Brin and what? I always forget the other dude's name. It's like the most famous guy in internet history, and I don't know his name. Can't recall it offhand. Two founders.
Find it on the internet.
Larry Page,
thank you.
Thank you.
I had to Google the Google founders.
Most influential person, the most powerful person in Silicon Valley.
Okay, I'll tell you, you've probably never heard of him.
Oh, sure.
I hadn't.
Isn't
until
he a
now.
Professor at Stanford or something?
No, he is billionaire Masayoshi Son.
No way.
Excuse me now?
From Sun Microsystems?
He has the most audacious vision for an AI-powered utopia where machines control how we live. And he's spending hundreds of billions of dollars to realize it.
And did you know that, Ben?
No, no idea. But it sounds like a very old plan, this.
He's the chairman of SoftBank.
Oh.
Has anyone heard of that?
Who would want to bank there?
I haven't heard of SoftBank.
And he's an inveterate deal maker. He launched this unprecedented venture 2 years ago to back up startups that he believes are driving a new wave of digital upheaval. He has staked everything on its success, his company, his reputation, and his fortune.
Now we've got to make a mission to see him, Sia.
I've never
I'm going to Silicon Valley in what is it, April? We got to meet this dude.
Masayoshi.
He reportedly paid $117 million for a home in Woodside in 2013.
You know what we'll do? We'll meet him at his house.
Yes, I think so.
A cup of tea.
All right. Tell me more. What else do you know about him? Is he married? Does he have 23 kids? Is he also getting divorced from his wife and has to hand over half his fortune? I mean, what's the story here?
No, he's quite... He's sort of very clean living.
Very private.
Yeah. He lives at his big house with that's so much of money.
Yeah.
But you know, has interior glass walls.
Yeah, but in Silicon Valley or in San Francisco, how many millions? 200 million or something? That'll get you a...
Yeah, but that was in 2013.
A garage.
Really?
Oh, rents are very high.
Yeah.
Well, he has a net worth, according to Google, of $20.2 billion. Yeah. So, yeah, I think he's fine on the house front.
I think he'll manage. All right. Very good.
Yeah. So maybe we'll hear more about him, but Sonny, I certainly hadn't heard.
Machiyotio's son. What's his name? Son Yoto.
Masayoshi.
That's the one. That's what I
Masayoshi
said.
Masayoshi son.
That's what I said. All right, good for him.
Ka-ching. Masayoshi.
Quite interesting that we've never heard of him.
No, it's very interesting. All right, so that's the most powerful man in Silicon Valley. Tell someone that today and they'll be blown away. They'll think you're the most smart person they've ever met in their lives.
Wow.
There's a couple of clips I got to play for you of Donald Trump and a bunch of other things, but here is an interesting email from someone. First and foremost, this is from Heidi. She says, I absolutely love the podcast. I'm often your biggest promoter among my friends and colleagues. I get so annoyed with myself when I begin a sentence with "so" on this podcast I'm listening to. Don't be annoyed. People, at least you're admitting where the source of your inspiration is. So Heidi says, guys, yesterday's podcast was so morbid and depressing I had to double check whether I was listening to that annoying bitch Anna Faris's podcast a few times.
What was that, Tuesdays?
It was Tuesday, yeah. I thought I had to drive over to the studio with Sia's berry vodka smoothies in order to coax you guys off the ledge.
Mm. What did we talk about that was so depressing
you
on Tuesday?
You guys fall to pieces when I'm not here.
I was thinking about it and it really didn't make sense.
I remember there was a listener who said his wife's father had passed away.
Oh, yes. And we were talking about the Zoom shutdown on Tuesday
All right.
as well.
Okay, fine. You know what, Heidi? We don't always hit a home run.
No, but life also has ebbs and flows.
Take that, Heidi.
Happiness and
Heidi, sometimes
no
you
points.
Get home and you look at your man and you go, I could have done better. And then the next day you forgive him. Or yourself. It's the same with us. Not every day is a perfect 10. May your toes be missiled, she said. Oh, I think that's possibly because we've come well out of the festive season now, Heidi, so maybe a bit late, but thanks very much. P.S., she says, rip Gord. All right. Gord, by the way, will be back on Wednesday next week. He's assured me.
Oh.
So I've invited someone to join us this morning who you may know, Tracy Lee Oliver, powerhouse singer, a comedian, an actress. Listen to this biography. Mm. Quite a lot going on here. She's no stranger to the don't get embarrassed already. Her move to musical comedy, she's no stranger to the stage, has taken her to another level. Joburg, look out, she's starring in Mark Lottering's new Auntie Merle, the musical, which is from the 1st of February to the 3rd of March. And we decided we'd get her in here and talk to her about that and get to take her on about some of the stories in the news this morning, a whole bunch of other things. How are you? Nice to have you here, Tracy.
Good morning.
Yeah, how are you doing?
Is this what 7 o'clock looks like?
Have you ever been up at this time? Because you're in performing, you're in stand-up, you're in all that
only
stuff.
Only if I've been binge-watching anything on the internet.
You're still up.
Straight through the night.
Yeah. But I mean, you can do that, but then you always feel terrible the next day. You can't do anything productive.
No.
If you've stayed up all night?
Yes. And then do a show at night, and then I've got sleeping issues.
Really? When do you sleep properly? Because that sounds crazy. I mean, are you on coke?
Coca-Cola, yeah, sure.
Because I can't. If I go through the night, I'm ruined the next day.
Do you sleep good, though, at night? Everybody's got sleeping problems.
Yeah, and that's part of the reason why we're all a little bit fragile and grouchy. Yeah. But you don't normally wake up this early.
No, I don't.
No, that's
why I chose this industry, so that I can civilized. Sleep late and work late at night.
So listen, we'll talk in a while about the musical that you're in, Auntie Merle. We'll talk about that and a whole bunch of other things too. But we're talking about some news stuff. Is there anything in the news that caught your attention recently? Anything that you're really interested in? Anything that's going on that you thought we should know about?
Besides the fact that Auntie Mel's coming to Joburg.
No,
shameless pun.
No, sure. There's nothing else in the news. Man. I'm with you. Don't feel bad.
I kind of don't want to, like, subject myself to that. The news makes me feel...
I agree. But listen to this.
Can I say cuck?
Yeah, you can. You can say anything you want. But here's a story you should know about.
Okay.
There was this dude who injected 18 doses of his own semen into his arm because he thought he could cure his back pain.
Wow.
Is he a white dude?
An Irish dude, to top it.
Well, I mean, what gave him this idea?
That's the explanation right there.
It's a baffling case, Ben. A 33-year-old man who injected his own semen intravenously for a year and a half. A self-developed cure he intended to treat his chronic back pain. Well, it obviously doesn't appear to have worked.
No.
Okay, well, I was going to try that this weekend.
Though? Yeah, exactly.
Like in his veins.
So after reportedly injecting semen into his arm every month for 18 months, he finally sought medical attention.
Finally.
But not for his arm. Instead, he'd complained of severe sudden onset lower back pain, having lifted a heavy steel object 3 days beforehand. Then during his checkup, the doctor found a patch of red swelling on his right forearm.
Oh, my God.
Which the man admitted he'd been injecting himself with his own semen using a hypodermic needle that he purchased online.
But you know, the only people who do this are people who... They imagine this magical powers. Imagine that. What kind of sicko? First of all, he has to get the semen from somewhere. We know how he's getting that. Then he's storing it. Then he's putting it in an injection. I mean, this is a lot of processes you have to go through.
Something inspired him. I'd love to know what it was. Was it a bad movie? Was it some guy at the pub telling a joke? Something inspired this guy.
Yeah.
Absolutely unbelievable.
He's like, crawling. Wow. Oh, my back sore. What's wrong with your forearm? Oh, that. Oh, no.
His back was probably sore from masturbating 12 times a day.
Yeah, that's a good point. Where was he getting it from? So an x-ray revealed an area of not only semen, but trapped air beneath his skin. So he was immediately hospitalized, treated with an intravenous antimicrobial therapy. And then after his back pain improved, he discharged himself.
Yeah, well, he discharged himself a couple of times to fill those syringes as well. Listen, we shouldn't, if that happened in this country, it should not be paid for by, like, a government hospital. Like, that shouldn't be covered by your medical aid if you're in private healthcare, and it shouldn't be covered by, like, the hospital should refuse to treat people who do stupid stuff like that, because it really is a drain on the system. But and someone like that ordinarily would die.
But it's what keeps hospital workers awake during the long hours. Mm-mm. Gives them something to talk about at the watering hole.
Yeah, I suppose. All right. That's a horrible reason for someone like this to be taken seriously. But there, you see, Tracy, you didn't expect to hear about a guy who's injecting cum into his arm.
Crazy. I feel sorry for the sperm, though. They didn't deserve that.
Yeah, these could have been people.
Yeah.
These could have turned into actual people. What an ignominious end for the sperm.
Ew.
I have so many questions now.
But you know that these people who drink their own piss, and there are people who do this stuff because they think that your body produces magical stuff and there's some wizardry going on there, and if you just do that, then you'll be clean and healthy. And yeah, there's people who go for oxygen therapy. Ben, you went once.
Yeah, I've tried a variety of things.
You've heard of vampire facials where you use your own blood and...
Yeah, Gary says that.
I've done that, though.
Yeah, and did it work for you?
Yes.
Yeah. So sometimes it works. Now, this guy obviously went for some treatment of some kind at one point and thought, well, if it's good for that kind of bodily fluid, then let me try with another one.
But you would think, though, that he would inject the semen into his back.
Where the pain
actually is. not his arm.
Now he's just got a sack of useless semen in his forearm.
So also, if you were to prick his arm, never mind.
Okay, it would leak out.
It might even explode, Sia.
Can you imagine arriving at work at the hospital and they say, oh, you just need to drain a cyst on level 4. Meanwhile, it's a cyst. This guy's cyst, his arm. Oh.
All right, everybody stop what you're doing. Mm. We just got a message from someone who's anonymous on here because they didn't put their name on, but they've said, morning, guys. Yeah. Sia here. Oh, Sia. Okay, sorry. I didn't read that properly. I thought you meant Sia as in the Sia in the studio. Oh. Sia here, your number one fan. Must say that I'm with Heidi on that email. You guys are starting to ignore me a lot lately. I mean, the last time you read my message was last year. Everybody say hello to Sia so he feels wanted.
Sia.
Hi, Sia.
Give a little bit of attention to someone who clearly isn't getting enough hugs from their family and their girlfriend and their friends. Big love to you, Sia. You make it through the day, all right?
You can do it.
Jesus.
Give me an S. Give me an I.
Yeah, there we go.
Give me a Y.
Why?
Give me an A.
Hey.
What does that spell?
Sia.
And we're not talking about the one in the studio. It's all about you, Sia, who just messaged us. Is that enough attention for you for the day?
All right, Jesus. That's enough.
Yeah.
It's probably so pissed at us now.
Did you realize... Here's another message. If you sit on the toilet at 11:59 and the clock strikes midnight, it's the same shit, different day.
Wow.
Messages.
Somebody thought about that when they were on the loo at midnight.
All right. While we're in the pubic area with the semen story, let's talk a little bit about everything you need to know about the male G-spot. Are you ready?
It sounds...
I'm not interested.
Why?
Come on. You got to be interested. We've got to be interested in yours.
No.
We've got to be interested in yours. You be interested in ours. How dare you? Tell us about it.
I thought it would, you know, these cosmopolitan type articles.
Oh, God.
I thought it would be really long, like the same if it was describing the women's G-spot.
It's
complicated.
Yeah, those articles.
A very short article.
Those articles like navigating your way through the Amazon. They tell you turn left here, go here. When you feel that, you need to go a little bit to the right. Then you need to go up. Then you need to twist this way. Then get into this position.
No, this is just...
Squirt a little bit of this on there.
In the butt. Find the prostate.
Oh.
Massage it and use some toys.
Okay, but...
This is not what John T would have said on feeling, sex softly.
Yeah, say it with feeling. Come on. Treat this like you would want to be treated.
The prostate is a walnut-sized gland located a few inches inside the anus.
Are you using your sex voice that you used to use for those?
Oh, I did those sex voiceovers.
Yeah.
Where the producer would have his hands under the table and say, can you say that again? Let's take it from the top. And then he would be rubbing his thighs and not playing with the levels, actually.
Just explain to everybody from the start, because I can see Tracy Lee's horrified by what you're saying now. You used to do voiceovers for those... Remember those ads that used to come on E, particularly on ETV, where they'd
go...
But
now that I hear her voice...
If you want some love...
Is that you?
Call 36912 now.
Come play with me and my friends in the jacuzzi.
Oh, my word.
Pictures of us every day to delight you. And the producer's going, take it from the top.
And he's got his hands under the desk.
Oh, no.
Rubbing his face.
Gross. I mean,
you're saying you wouldn't do it?
And
Leanne got thousands of rands.
In his house, in this back studio with like cobwebs and.
Ew.
Yeah.
No.
Only Leanne has these adventures. All right, tell the G-spot story again in your sex voice, please. All right, I'll get you some music and everything. Are you ready?
Okay.
Come on, let's try and do this properly. Put in a lot of effort this time.
All right. If you insert one or two fingers into the anus and reach up toward your partner's belly button, you should be able to feel the prostate. Well, not that one, the other one. If you're unsure... like that, check in with them. When you hit it, they will know.
Oh, when you hit it, they'll know, huh?
Why does it feel good?
Yeah, tell us.
Experts aren't 100% sure. All we know is that it feels really, really amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, 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 oh,
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah. All right. So there we go. Mm. Pretty useful information from
Deanne
Moll.
How did I get here?
So it's a lot less complicated.
I just want to know who the first guy was, like back in time, before this was common information. I want to know who the first guy was who sat there on his own and decided, I'm going to do a little self-exploration here until something feels good.
Well, Gareth,
what was he looking for?
I don't want to sound crass here or feel like I'm boosting my own team, but you...
Go on, Sia. Never be ashamed.
Two and two together, it was probably gay men who realized
Yes,
this.
Probably that's a good point. And that's been going on since time immemorial.
The first viral clip that I ever saw when things like that started 20 years ago was of a chimpanzee in a tree and he was scratching his bum. And then he happened to smell his finger and then he fell off the branch. So it could have been that primal.
Okay, well, there we
are. It might have started with a deep bum scratch.
There we go. Something was itchy, and then maybe that was the beginning of it all. You never know. But there's some useful information for you on a Friday morning.
There you go.
I promised you no politics this morning, and we've stuck to our promise.
Wow.
We've given you a lot better than that. Aren't you excited to be here, Tracy Lee?
I'm... very excited.
How excited.
But excited.
Tracy Lee Oliver is our guest this morning. She's hanging out with us today. We're going to talk a bit about her Auntie Merle, the musical, which she's in. Mark Lottering wrote this, right?
Yes, he did.
He's a genius. What a great guy.
What a great guy.
How much time do you get to spend with him?
Well, he used to come and do his... He does his makeup in my dressing room every night.
Mm-hmm.
For Auntie Merle, so we have our bonding session just before the show starts. So that's
but I mean,
cool.
when you were casting for this, when he was casting for this, then obviously he took a liking to you and said, "You're the one I want for this role."
Yes.
I mean, what an honor to have a guy like that say to you, I'm tapping you
absolutely.
To take this
absolutely.
Role.
Absolutely. And so, I mean, the auditioning process was a bit like scary and it was grueling. Because they actually had an open call. They had an open call for all the girls in Cape Town. And I'm in Joburg, mind you.
Yeah.
And
did you have to go to Cape Town to do this?
I had to go to Cape Town to do the audition.
Explain to everybody how hard this open call situation is. Because, you know, everybody thinks that being in entertainment is so glamorous. It's so exciting. And you get these roles. It's easy. You just pitch up. They love you. It's a moment of magic. And then you've got the role. Ta-da. It's not like that at all.
No.
You have to line up outside a room with a whole bunch of other chicks who are all going for the same role.
It's like an idols audition,
yeah,
basically.
Which is horrible.
Yeah.
And you're looking at them and they're looking at you and you're trying to assess the threat.
Absolutely.
It's
and
tough,
you're trying
right?
to say like, oh man, maybe I should have worn that short skirt and like, mm-hmm. or maybe I should have worn that or this or that. And then it's like, oh shit, I should have done my hair like that. Damn it! You know? And you sit standing in the queue doing like vocal warm-ups and you're trying, and it's early in the morning, man.
Because you have to be able to, you're a triple threat. You can sing, you can act, you can dance, you can do all of those things.
Yeah.
So you
and comedy as well.
But then there are a lot of other girls who are also a triple threat.
Yes. But that's Cape Town for you, right?
Uh-huh. We got a lot of talent
and
in this country.
And let's be honest, colored people are fucking talented.
They are.
Like, they're super talented.
Preternaturally talented when it comes to music especially.
Yes.
I've never met anyone who's particularly like from the Cape. There's a colored community there that just fosters music in their kids from an early age.
Yeah.
Maybe it's genetic, maybe it's environmental, who knows. But
I don't know.
Everybody can either play an instrument and sing or sing and dance or dance and act and all of them together sometimes.
Exactly. The band that plays for the musical, all self-taught. No score in front of them, nothing. Everything is by...
The best session musos in the country come from there.
Mm.
And this is an interesting thing. Like, there's a racial stereotype you do want.
That's true.
You know? Like, people are often into, like, oh, don't stereotype me and this and that and the other. But that's a stereotype that I think really does hold true. And it's something a lot of people in the Cape are very proud of. Okay, but do you get a brief before you go for an audition like this?
Oh, yeah. So initially what had happened was...
What had happened was...
Yeah. Mark let me know. And, you know, I've known Mark, like, you know, through the comedy scene and whatever, and we kind of chatted here and there, and also, you know, being colored and being from Cape Town, you have like
there's a network.
There's like a thing. It's just a connection that you have anyway.
Right.
So he WhatsApps me and he says, okay, hashtag just saying, I'm doing auditions for Abigail. So that's the character for who's his daughter in the musical, right? Auntie Merle's daughter, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I freak out just for a second. And I go, okay, when and where? Just tell me when and where, and I'm there. And so initially, because they are based in Cape Town and I was based in Joburg, I had to send in a self-tape, which is the worst kind of auditioning method that you can do.
Is that you sitting there and there's a camera on you and you just have to do a monologue?
So I had one of my actor friends help me out. So he's feeding me the lines and another friend of mine is holding my camera up and I'm supposed to react to what he's saying, but within this frame of my phone.
That's horrible.
And it's like, oh, okay. And then I had to do the song, which is like the showstopper song of the evening, the end of the first act. And I did the song, and the song is so, it's just very, very huge. It's like a Jennifer Hudson, and I'm telling you, Dreamgirls vibe, right?
Big range, massive notes.
Exactly.
Got you. Okay.
And I did it. I sent it through, and then I get a WhatsApp from him, and it's all caps, right? So you know when your WhatsApp comes up on your phone, and you just see like the part, just like the beginning part of the message. He says, mm-hmm. "Oh my God, that's all I see," and I'm like, "He hated it. He hated it." And I open up the WhatsApp, and he's like, yeah, so we think you should come to Cape Town because I want my director to come in to experience you the way I know you. And that was that, man.
So what is it?
There's much more drama, but we just don't have the time.
Well, I mean, it's not like you're unused to drama. I mean, you were Mm-mm. in The Voice back in 2016.
Yeah.
Right? So you've done these TV shows and things before. You've done a lot of stand-up in front of people, which I always think is way harder than performing.
Oh, yes, it is.
Because stand-up is a form of performing, but you're actually reading off your audience the whole time, which a performer doesn't.
Yeah.
They just get on with the performance.
Yeah.
So you obviously are not afraid of an audience.
No. Well, before the couple of seconds before I have to get onto the stage, I'm terrified. And I'm like, why are you doing this?
Well, because you
could be at home watching Netflix and chilling.
Because you know these people they've either paid to be there or they're really excited to be there, or both.
Yeah.
And you can't let them down.
Mm-mm.
And if you were an irresponsible performer, you wouldn't care.
Yeah.
And those people, you can tell immediately when they come onto the stage because they're not really that interested.
Mm.
And for them, it's like a paycheck or they're bored and they're just trying to find something to do in their day. But the ones who care, they get an audience very fired up and very excited. So it feels good to be a bit nervous.
It does. I mean, If that feeling goes away, you should get worried and you should wonder why you're doing it, you know, if you don't get nervous before performing. But the thing with comedy and singing is that when you get up on stage to sing, you know already what you're going to do.
Yeah.
So you're singing the lyrics of a song that you already know. But with comedy, it's a different story. Like you said, reading an audience.
I mean, let's just go through some of the stuff you've done here. You were in Project Fame, Afrikaans Idols, The Voice. I mean, these are big shows. This is not small stuff. You also were nominated twice for your performance of Dina Jones in Dreamgirls.
Mm-hmm.
So again, that's why you can handle these big Jennifer Hudson type songs. Blew audiences away in Motown and Nights of Music at Gold Reef. You also performed alongside David Kao and Joey Razdeen in the feature film Blitz Petroli. You starred in the TV series Sugar Rushed. You've been with Goliath and Goliath doing a little bit of a musical element in the Kings and Queens of Comedy. That was a national tour. And then you did Supreme Divas at the Joburg Theatre.
Mm-hmm.
So you've been busy. You have not been on, you know, on your backside Netflix and chilling. You actually been
I make time
really
for that, though. I think you should have balance.
Priorities.
No, but yeah, I've been quite busy. Wow. I should read my resume more. I mean, I feel pretty good about all those things. Because you forget, man. You get so busy that you actually forget.
Stuff I left out that you need to add back in? Because you sometimes don't update your CV, you know?
No, that's the updated one.
It's a lot of stuff. That's very impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Are you having fun, though? You're enjoying it?
I am so having fun. I think it's, with this specific musical, Auntie Merle musical, it's just such a sweet... I mean, Auntie Merle, people who are fans of Mark Lottering and his stand-up comedy, they know the character Auntie Merle because he plays all these different characters, like six characters or something like that. But
he only really needed you. All the other people in the show are an afterthought.
Please don't say that. You're going to get me in trouble. But that's true. The show is basically just about me and Mark. Exactly. Everybody else is chorus, you know, fillers, segues. When Mark and I have to go change, we're like, hey, guys, yes. We've got a song. We've got an ensemble song. Just so let's just
keep
go
them busy.
Change.
Yeah. Keep them busy for 5 minutes while we change.
No, but honestly, we have an amazing cast. It's liquor to work with people that you like.
And there's an 8-piece band.
It's an 8-piece band.
Which is awesome because you, live.
There's cooking band.
Yeah. Well, of course. But there's something about singing along with a band that is different from doing it to a backtrack.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, that's right. That's right.
And but then let's just let people know. Tickets are 145 Rand available through web tickets and pick and pay outlets. Performances are Wednesdays to Saturdays at 8 p.m. Matinee shows on Saturdays and Sundays at 3 p.m. It's at the Joburg Theatre, and you can visit joburgtheatre.com for more information. Aren't you happy I had all that info in front of me so you didn't have to remember?
You're so professional.
Wow. Otherwise, you would have had to remember, and you would have at least screwed up one of the things, the price or the time.
Probably the price, but the other stuff I would have known.
You would have known, huh?
Yeah.
So there's a show to go and watch at the Joburg Theatre. If you love Mark Lottering, and who doesn't, and if you want to see Tracy Lee doing her thing, go along and watch this show. There's something for you to do in January and February.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. When does it start?
On the 1st of February, so it's right. The love month, Valentine's Day. Come, guys.
Valentine's
guys,
Day.
Guys,
are you performing on Valentine's Day?
Probably. Let's check a the calendar.
Sure
and when
you
it
would be.
And let's see where it falls on. Probably, yeah.
Excuse.
All right, loads of other stuff that we need to talk about in the news. Which cities do you think are the most sustainable cities in the world? I mean, we know that there are places that don't have water, that are running out of water, like Cape Town. There are places that don't have very good electricity supply, like the whole of South Africa, thanks to Eskom. But there are places that are very sustainable, that they build these eco skyscrapers where you've got plants growing up the side and you've got solar panels on the roof and people recycle their water and all kinds of things like that. So what are the most sustainable cities in the world?
And this article has the most beautiful photographs of these cities. And explaining exactly what you've just said with all the greenery mixed in
does it make you
with architecture. Oh,
make
gosh.
You want to live there?
Puts the wanderlust in me. Mm. Okay, so the
do
most...
Do the sex voice for this
she
one.
Did that sex voice just now.
Wanderlust.
Do the sex voice for the cities. Come on. Come on. Ben,
one,
don't you want the sex
time.
Voice again?
Well, it's the best way to describe anything.
If composting is second nature...
Oh, no, don't giggle. Spoils it.
Composting is never so sexy.
Composting.
And you grimace when you see people leave the grocery store with plastic bags.
Oh, yeah.
All right, yeah.
Then where you spend your money while traveling is probably important to you.
All right, you can stop with the sex
Thank
voice.
You.
We are talking about cities. Go on.
Number one in the most sustainable successes.
You don't know how to do a countdown. How can you start with number one? You've got to build up.
Oh, do you want it the other way around?
Well, go from number five.
You want
to
it from behind?
Yeah, if you go from five, then you build up to number one. You make number one's the big reveal.
Well, I don't know what number this is, but here we go. Frankfurt, Germany.
Oh, what a horrible city. I've been to Frankfurt. It's the most boring place in all of Europe.
Might be boring, but it's a superb bicycle infrastructure city, great public transport, electric vehicle incentives, and carbon emissions. Their agenda is to cut by 50% by 2030.
What a boring place. I wouldn't go to Frankfurt. The only reason to go there is the airport.
Yeah, I've only ever been in the airport in that place.
That's all you need. I spent maybe it was three days. It felt like a year, but it was 2 or 3 days. There's nothing. There's nothing to see and do there. The people are boring. The place is dull. There's nothing. Forget about it.
I was
so
stuck there.
If that's
there.
A sustainable city, then I'm not interested. Okay. Give me some place where they're using up everything.
I was Take stuck there for 2 days and I wasn't allowed to leave the hotel. Ugh. Imagine that. Stockholm, Sweden is up next. Then we have Singapore. Obviously an early adopter of self-driving technology.
After seeing Crazy Rich Asians, I want to go to Singapore.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what puts me off is the humidity is apparently just, you can't take it.
Really?
Apparently it's just all you think about all day.
Okay, but why is it the most sustainable city in that part of the world?
Well, it also has state-of-the-art water and waste management. dedicated to green buildings and viable development. And just to show you, this is the photo which described what you were talking about.
Ah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, they actually made a forest. Like, they made a full-on forest. And they've also got a huge casino.
Wow.
It's everything you want.
Oh, casino.
It's like Joburg, basically. Steroids.
Yeah, exactly. Joburg, forest, forest and great casinos.
Yeah. London, England is right up there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's the city's embraced diesel electric buses and funds transit needs through revenues. Strategies are also in place to improve air quality and advance recycling programs.
Yeah, let's not pretend that London is on there because they care about the environment. It's because you have huge congestion charges and getting around is a problem. Mm. So they've had to solve the transport problem and that's made them sustainable.
So
not the other
accidentally
way around.
Sustainable.
Yeah.
Incidentally.
Okay.
Vienna, Austria is in there. They were a pioneer in electric-powered buses.
All right.
Leading to decreased carbon emissions.
Mm-hmm.
And they've also got many ethical micro-roasters or organic cafes.
Ethical micro-roasters. Is that those craft coffee people?
Yes.
Oy, oy, oy. Have you been to a lot of these places? Because there's Cape Town is full of them. These hipster dwellings.
I don't
dwellings.
Drink coffee.
Ben, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
These hipster places. You don't drink coffee at all?
Nope.
Okay.
Well, I'm the same. I don't drink it either.
You're not
I've
missing
missed
out
on that whole cult. Culture.
You're not missing out.
Everyone, a consultant expert, Gord Laws, obviously knows the most about this.
Yeah. But these, honestly, you've got these guys with these beards and they wear this steampunk type outfit and they've got, no, really. They like display old typewriters as if they're artifacts that we need to pay attention to. And they're very, very particular about how they roast their coffee.
Mm.
Look at these machines that are all brass and copper and chrome, and they turn a handle and they pull a lever and the thing goes
it's like driving a train.
Oh, and then they give you coffee, and sure, it's good coffee, but oh, what a schlep. I really
that's what I don't like about the coffee culture is the schlep.
It's a schlep.
Someone will stand at a counter for 10 minutes for a coffee,
and you meanwhile you don't care if they do it in the back room and they're probably squeezing some
injecting semen into it.
I would care about that. They were injecting
that's
semen
why I don't
anyway.
Drink coffee.
Yeah,
too much had, semen in there, man.
You know what? I have one cup of coffee a day, and I really wish it was just good. I'm going to go today and buy those capsules I've been talking about for the longest time because I've got the machine in my office. Just one of those little like Nespresso things.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you have one cup of coffee a day, let it be a good one.
Not a cup of brown.
But I don't need this... The hipster setup that Leanne's talking about with the micro roastery. That's too much work.
Fifth on the list is Prague, Czech Republic.
Mm-hmm.
Packed with gardens and parks.
Okay.
Synonymous with beer and of late, the brewing industry. Another one seems to be moving towards more eco-friendly practices. Recycling bottles and cans is not just encouraged, it's mandatory.
Huh. Oh. Well, that's quite a good thing. All right.
Okay, Seoul, South Korea, fourth place with their high-tech subways,
mm-hmm.
Cutting-edge infrastructure, sustainability strategies. In third place is Paris, France. That reminds me of Snooki Zikalala when he was signing off, the SABC reporter.
What did he do?
He was in France once and he went, Snooki Zikalala, SABC, Paris, France.
As opposed to what? Paris Freestyle.
Yeah. Oh, it was like an afterthought as well.
Yeah.
Paris has a great rail network.
I remember that guy. He used to be very particular about where geographically he was situated. Like he would say, Emerentia, Johannesburg, South Africa,
yes.
Africa, the world.
Yes, exactly that.
So you could, it was like an address on a post envelope.
Yeah.
You know? It was like he'd have a code and everything.
Altaf Kazi, do you remember him?
Yes.
Altakazi e-news. And so what happened was within the community, the colored community, with that, that's how we would just end off any conversation. And it was, he was our hero, man. He still is. Altakazi e-news.
Right. He didn't have the most animated voice, did he?
Not at all.
All right. Third place is Zurich, Switzerland.
Yes, but the Swiss are all... I mean, when you think sustainability, you've got to think the Swiss. They're up in the mountains there. They keep everything clean. You could basically drink from someone else's rubbish bin water.
You could. Binges.
Yeah, because they're that clean. Like, everything in Switzerland is just so clean. Honestly, you could recycle someone's grey water as drinking water in most other countries.
Sure.
And they wouldn't even know the difference.
Should tell the hipsters about that.
Yeah.
They'll add it into the coffee.
They'll be flocking to Switzerland.
And I can finally reveal that the number one spot.
Oh, thank God. I thought we'd never get here. God, this list went on and on. Sure. All right, here it is. The big final winner in the sustainability list, if anyone still cares by this stage.
Have you guessed yet?
I have no idea.
Hong Kong.
Hong Kong.
Well-connected and cost-effective metro. It's all about transport, isn't it? And the recently launched Climate Action Plan, which lays out a roadmap for carbon reduction that includes urban development and transport efficiency. Yeah, definitely transport's the biggest theme here.
Yeah, it's true. Hong Kong's fantastic unless you see... I mean, it's great in every aspect except for investment bankers strangling prostitutes.
Yeah, that's a bit of a problem.
That's the only category where they scored badly.
How do you... Never mind.
It's a thing.
Okay.
It is. It's the capital of investment bankers strangling prostitutes.
It's the capital of investment bankers strangling prostitutes. It's such a tough phrase to get out there, but it happens.
And it's a very important cause, clearly, to
In fact, yeah, well, it is. It's for all of us, Sia. Don't be smug.
Investment bank asphyxiation, I think, is the actual term.
If you listen to their police crime stats, you know, like we have Becky Tlale comes out and, the crime statistics are as follows. In Hong Kong, they start with that one.
That's
People
number one.
People care that much about, well, first of all, it's of great interest to prostitutes and of great interest to investment bankers. Two very large portions of the community.
People got to know.
Hey, people have got to know. Absolutely. Like incest in Delmas. It's a big category.
I should have known that before.
Incest in Delmas is a huge category.
It's on the crest as you drive in the town.
They actually display it. You know how they sometimes put those crosses on the mountains made out of rocks? You know, they put those white crosses with rocks.
Oh, man.
Like in Delmas, they actually put the number of incest cases that week.
The one who made it famous, his name is Rurik Jutting.
Who?
Rurik Jutting.
Is this Delmas or Hong Kong?
What are we talking about, Leanne?
Still the prostitutes.
Oh, right. Oh.
He's a banker who killed two women by strangling.
Oh, no, see? Asshole.
He's the famous one if you Google Hong Kong bankers strangling prostitutes.
There we go. See, and who doesn't Google that every other day?
That's a thing.
You're learning stuff, right?
I am. Aren't you glad? I'm so glad I came here.
I'm so glad you came.
Wow, thank you guys. My life has been changed.
You're wondering who's with us this morning. Tracy Lee Oliver, you need to go and see her in Auntie Merle the Musical, which is at the Joburg Theatre. Go to joburgtheatre.com.
It's not Auntie Merle. It's Auntie Merle.
Yeah. No, it's Auntie Merle. We're in Cape Town. Auntie Merle is more of a Joburg accent.
Oh, really?
Auntie Merle, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
See, Leanne, you didn't spend enough time in the Cape. Yeah.
Sorry to abruptly correct you like that, but it'll be a thing.
Put her in her place. We like that.
Yeah, Cape Town, Joburg colored accent is a bit more flatter than the Cape Town accent.
Isn't it?
Did you know that?
Like, I didn't know that. We're such an interesting country. Like, I met a dude the other day who's a Joburg Indian. And he can't stand Durban Indians.
Oh, yeah.
But that's a thing, though.
I'm like, really? Do we need to break it down this much? And then, within the Joburg Indian community, there are different, like, layers. Mm. Like, if you come from a certain neighborhood, or if you're a certain shade of dark or light, then you're a different kind. Then you get the ones who are North Indian, and you get the ones who are South Indian.
Mm-hmm. The whole hierarchy.
Yeah. There's almost racism within the Indian community.
Even within
when
families.
It comes to literal skin color.
Even within families. This is the legacy of all that cuck that they started in the 1940s and 50s. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Sure. People actually grade themselves within their families.
Yes.
Yes, sis.
I don't think it's so much a racism thing as it is a classism thing within the community.
But I mean, the lines get blurred there because there is classism.
It's like if you're Indian from Lens and you're Indian from Sandton.
Totally different.
Ooh, wee.
Totally different world.
Yeah.
So Joburg colored and Cape Town colored are very different, right?
Yeah, very different. I mean, I suppose culturally very different. You know, in Cape Town, you have the culture of, say, for instance, the Kaapse Klopse. And that's, New Year's now in Cape Town was crazy. And then you get first New Year's and you get second New Year's. You know about that, right?
Tweede Nuwejaar.
Tweede Nuwejaar.
Absolutely. I was caught in the traffic last year because I was walking. I was going to get an Uber. I had this appointment in Bethencourt Street.
Mm.
Well, did I have to walk because I went through the Klopse. So they block off a lot of streets.
Yeah.
So I was walking past these people that were rehearsing because it was before they'd actually started the march. People put
in
so
much. Oh, no one
so
told
much,
you, Shane.
No. That I didn't mind because it was beautiful to be part of it. And I was like really walking through the people. So I got to see all the outfits and I got to see all the bands rehearsing and the kids dancing.
And that's a serious thing, eh?
Yes.
That's like really serious.
And it's run by Oaks who are like military. They there's a time you start, there's a time you finish.
Oh, yes.
People have to pay their membership fees.
You have to pay for your
the
for your
trooper all
yeah,
have to,
clothes and everything, your outfit.
No,
yeah.
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal if you wear the sequin jacket or
but
not.
But that's a very Cape thing.
Yeah, that's a very Cape thing.
It doesn't happen in
Joburg. I don't know so much about the Joburg specific culture because I'm not really from here. I mean, I've been here for 13 years, but it's...
Shane, you still don't feel part of it, hey?
You're no, not really, but I mean, I've met really nice people.
Yeah, stop trying to cover it up. We understand. They haven't been treating you well. We'll make it right by coming to your show.
Yes, and come see the sweet, sweet story of Auntie Mul and how she opens up her home and her community to let us in on what's happening.
Do we
there.
Need to mention the other people in the cast or should we just leave it alone?
No, let's give them a mention, Shane.
Right, so we've got, apart from Tracy Lee Oliver, who's here, she's Abigail.
Mm-hmm.
There's Paul Du Toit as Alan.
Yes.
Lokman Adams as Denver Pulser.
Mm-hmm.
And then the support cast, we don't need to mention them.
Yeah, they're sweet, though. Shout out to the Auntie Mul cast. Yay.
And an 8-piece band who are smoking hot.
Smoking hot.
JoburgTheatre.com for more info. Well, I hope you've had fun being
we should
with us
Paul,
this
we
morning.
Should talk about Paul the Tweet because I mean I think he's going to be our little card that's going to draw the Afrikaans people to
tell
come
me
and
more?
See the show.
Who is
I mean Paul?
Paul
the Tweet is the guy he was in Four Corners. He played one of the police officers, wardens in that movie.
Okay.
He was in Numa Skoli as well.
How old?
How old is Paul? Paul's about in his 40s.
Okay.
And he's a very famous face on CakeNet.
Right.
So we need to mention Paul Du Toit.
Okay.
And the fact that he plays my
fiance. Well, now you've greased him up nicely. I hope he's going to treat you well when you start rehearsals.
We have a deal.
All right, thank you so much, Tracy Lee. It's time for us to check in with our very good friend, George Meany, who's from Auto Trader, and we're going to talk to George about some of the stories in motoring this week. Hey, George, first of all, Happy New Year. Welcome back.
You too, Gareth.
Did you have a nice holiday?
I did.
What adventurous forms of transport did you use during your holiday?
Just my Land Rover.
Oh, well, that's all right. So did Prince Philip. It didn't go so well for him, though. Did you hear what happened?
Down in the Fair Cape, no.
No, he had a crash. He's 97 years old. I asked Tyron what he thought of a 97-year-old driving. They shouldn't be allowed to, right, Tracy Lee?
No.
97, they should be.
They should have their. People should reach a certain age and then go redo their license and learners.
I agree with that. I agree with
that. Because Jesus knows. I mean, come on, men.
You know the one thing I love about Cape Town
is
their Cape accent.
Yeah. Well,
do you find it sexy?
I haven't thought about it that way, but I love that accent.
You'll like it, and then you have to. Is it sexy? I don't know. It's usually out.
Can be.
How the guys react.
All right, so George, what's going on in the news?
Well, we did an analysis of the most popular cars in 2018.
Aha, let's get into this. This is very important.
And believe it or not,
we have the results.
For a long time, the BMW 3 Series was on the top of the list.
Tracy Lee has one of those, yeah.
My car got stolen, man.
Because it's so popular.
A Taz. Someone sponsor me a car, please.
All right, go on.
Was the BMW 3 Series at the top of the list in 2017, but in 2018, the BMW 3 Series dropped to position number 4.
Oh.
As the fourth most popular car in South Africa. The C-Class was in position number 2 in 2017 and climbed to position number 1 in 2018.
Oh.
So C-Class. Mercedes-Benz C-Class is now on the top of the list. VW Golf was in position number 3 in 2017 and dropped to position number 6 last year.
That's an ugly slide.
Yeah, I think so.
Shame.
It's like that thing at that Wild Waters. Do they even call it Wild Waters anymore?
Oh, you can see it from the planes. That's all I know.
That's all you know. That's all you care about.
Come into land and you check out those slides.
And then one of South Africa's most popular cars is the Toyota Hilux. And Toyota Hilux was in position number 4 and last year climbed to position number 2, probably because of the Dakar rally.
Oh, you think it's not just because farmers needed to upgrade from their
maybe
other Buckies?
Maybe. Maybe the Isuzu.
Yeah, all
right. Which isn't even on this list.
No, shame.
And then surprisingly, the VW Polo, which was in position number 6 in 2017, climbed to position number 3 in 2018.
That's a very sensible car for it.
I have
lots of respect for the Polo. You see a lot of them on the roads. They serve the people who drive them well.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's a good car.
So that was the that was the lineup in 2018. And biggest surprise year was the slide of the all-time Euro, the BMW 3 Series.
Are you surprised?
Not really. I think they need to do something with that that 3 Series, and not just facelift it.
Yeah.
They need to do something significant with that 3 Series.
Okay,
but and George, what did they do with the C-Class that made it rise like that? Because ultimately there's a formula here and they just get slightly better
yes,
every time.
Yes. Well, remember the C-Class had a significant shape change between 2016 and 2018, and they had a mid-year facelift in 2018, which was quite a big facelift. So I think the C-Class has got a lot better. I don't know if you remember that dolphin-type shape that they had for years. And now they've moved to a more racy, sporty car with more
Merc
lines.
Always do take more risks like that.
Yeah.
A bit crazier.
Yeah. So, and I think BMW is stuck in that rut of what you just said, which is that incremental change.
Yeah.
And Merc took a little bit of a leap and got to the top of the list.
Okay, what else?
Well, I don't know if you know who Namuzu Mabena is.
Yes, Namuzu Mabena, we spoke about this. She was involved in a campaign that was largely sponsored by Volkswagen.
Yes.
They faked an accident to bring awareness to
drinking and driving and texting.
Yeah, so a lot of people, very mixed reaction. Do you think it's been a success, George? This is a big story in the news this week.
I think it's been there's no such thing as negative marketing, and VW has got the traction from this. Uh-huh. They slammed her for doing it. But, you know, I agree with VW sentiments here, and there's probably four sides to the story. I believe VW says, why is nobody actually focusing on what they tried to achieve, which was the focus on drinking and driving and texting and driving?
Yeah.
Was everyone focused on, oh, how could you do this? You lied to us. You know, you disappeared for 24 hours. You know, and so I think the public is probably focused on the wrong thing. Yes, maybe they could have done it better. But VW had, I think, good intentions with this campaign.
Yeah, all right. Okay.
Maybe executed in the wrong way.
I didn't love it, but then maybe I'm in the minority. I'm willing to accept I'm probably just difficult about this, but I don't like fake. I don't like...
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think it's funny when you, even for awareness, you have a fake accident. People get worried, man. Mm. And you know... There's going to be bizarre stuff. Like when you do sensational stuff like this, there's always copycat stuff because people go, well, my celebrity that I like did this, so I'm going to do it because it'll get me attention, and they do a real one, and that's not so cool.
Yeah, I suppose the problem comes in when something really happens and people don't believe it.
Yeah.
It's cry wolf stuff, isn't
it? Cry wolf, exactly.
But then also the people who actually lose people in accidents, that's kind of taking the mickey out of their grief and whatever.
Well, Terry Petto, who's a well-known South African actress, she's starred in a number of very big movies, and she's got international.
I follow her on Instagram, yeah.
Me too. She was very upset by this. She says, I've lost family and friends in car accidents. I don't think this is an interesting campaign or fun or clever at all. I think it's creepy.
I think it was executed wrong. So what they tried to do was good, but it was executed in the wrong way. It led people to believe it was actually real, which that's the part I don't agree with, is it shouldn't have been made to be real. It should have been as an ad.
Look, at least let's give credit where credit's due. At least people are thinking a little bit differently about how to make these messages count.
Yeah.
If it affected, I don't know, 100 people positively, that's 100 people who'll think about texting and driving or not drinking and driving a little bit more seriously.
Exactly. Yeah.
What do you think is more dangerous? What do you think?
Texting or drinking?
Yeah.
I don't think there's a worse evil.
I think, you know what I think is the big scary thing, and it came up yesterday with Canthan Pillay and Pumi. We were talking about the things that really contribute hugely to the death statistics on our roads, and Bladen Zimande held this press conference this week about it. Two things that nobody really talks about much anymore, but they're the two biggest things when it comes to fatalities.
Yeah.
Number one is drunk pedestrians.
Yes.
We have more drunk pedestrians killed than any other country
in the world.
And drunk pedestrians make up most of those death statistics.
Well, pedestrians as a whole.
Something close to 60 or 70% of the deaths on our roads are pedestrians.
That's crazy. These
are people crossing highways, people stumbling into the road because they're drunk. People get knocked over by motorists. But it's not evil motorists as much as it is dumb pedestrians.
Mm.
That's the one thing no one talks about. The other thing no one talks about is taxis. Because we kind of give taxis a free pass. We just accept that they're a hazard on the road. But nobody talks about them. If we take the taxis and the pedestrians out, our fatalities are not so high.
I actually start freezing up when I see a taxi coming into the fast lane behind me.
Yeah.
And if I can't get into the left lane, because they don't care about that. They just drive on your bum.
But you can just see. I mean, when you see that taxi's momentum, you can just see this looks dangerous. Yeah, they're not in control.
Well, the worst part is Matt being a passenger in one of those things.
That's the thing, because you don't have a choice when you get into a taxi. You don't know how they drive.
Yeah.
You just get in and hope for the best.
So these are the two big elephants in the room that no one talks about. And the other thing that no one talks about is sleep.
Like sleep deprivation.
Tracy, you and I were talking just now about how little sleep we both get, and we're not that isolated as people who don't get enough sleep. Loads of people do. People who are tired behind the wheel, I reckon, are way more dangerous than people who are drunk or people who are texting.
Exactly.
Of course, those are problems. I'm not by any means saying they're not problems, but they never pull you over and go, can we test how sleepy you are? They never dock your license for sleepiness. Or the fact that you only got 3 or 4 hours last night, or you're stressed beyond belief, so you're exhausted behind the wheel.
And distracted.
How often are you driving and you can feel yourself getting more and more tired? That's dangerous.
It's very dangerous. Very dangerous.
There's nothing to blow on, though, to test that. Your tiredness, you know?
That's the point. And I reckon a lot of these accidents are probably because people are tired. Especially truck drivers. Yeah. You're driving like 18 hours a night.
My God.
Can you imagine?
I don't know how they do it, but they do it.
So no one talks about those three things, and if we talked about them, the statistics wouldn't look so bad.
Mm.
I agree. On a lighter note.
Yeah, thank God.
Ford is using a giant robot to mimic how your sweaty butt affects the car seat over time.
Oh, no.
So they've been doing this test for years with a machine that has a pad on it, mimics your bum, and gets in and out of the car seat 7,500 times. Now they've added sweat to the mix. And
have you ever sat down in a seat someone's been sitting in for a long time and it's hot?
Warm.
Some people pay for that in beds in Japan.
Yeah,
but bed warmers.
Let's not even go down that street.
The
Japanese buy panties from dispensing machines and all kinds of things. They have very, very strange habits that are going on there. But a sweaty seat, how does it affect things?
Well, they're busy doing this test now. So
does it ruin the leather?
They're checking to see whether it ruins the leather or the cloth, and how long it takes to ruin the leather or the cloth with sweat or without sweat.
Ugh, swass.
So you know.
So when they get the results, are they going to? Are they going to like reinforce the seat underneath? Are they not going to use leather then, and maybe a more absorbent kind of material? What's going to happen?
Well, I mean, I remember my previous car had fans in the seats, so you could switch the fans on. and the fans would cool your butt. So maybe that's an answer.
And that's something like you like that? Is something you into?
What, fans in my seat?
Fans cooling your butt.
Yeah, listen,
like
it's
wind
nice.
Blowing on your bum.
I drove a Bentley once, and they also have these little, you know, the little holes in the leather?
Yes.
This cool air blows up through your ass and on your back. Because if you're driving on a hot summer's day, you know, your back against the
seat. I get the back thing, but my bum, though. Like,
your ass doesn't get sweaty. Lucky you.
I mean,
my ex-husband would put the seat heater on without me knowing. Oh, and we'd be like halfway to Durban and I'd be squirming going, so fucking hot.
This is why you got divorced.
This is number one reason.
Your seat heater.
Yeah. All right. George, thank you very much. Great to see you. Tracy Lee, all the best with the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
What a pleasure. It was nice to hang out with you this morning. Leanne, thank you. Sia, Ben, you. Thank you for listening. And we will catch you on Monday between 6 and 9. Here's the important un-news that you need to know today. All the stories that you need to be able to talk about with intelligence, knowledge, and interest. So first of all, 2019 politicking is gaining momentum. First of all, the ANC are trying to dress up communism as something new and innovative. The DA are finding new ways to lose voters, and the EFF are now actively looking for people with integrity to fill top posts. As you can see, voting for any of these parties makes about as much sense as letting Harvey Weinstein cast for a play in a convent. Zimbabwe's crisis continues to worsen as they're now without the internet, as the ruling party want to silence the citizens. Gift of the Givers has acted quickly on this, realizing no internet actually means no porn, so they're requesting that anyone with old porno mags in South Africa please to give generously. They will then make a trip across the border with this much-needed material early next week. And finally, Super Rugby is almost upon us, and the South African teams have all adopted a Marvel superhero to inspire their home jerseys. Ironic, really, as people would probably only care about Super Rugby if all the actual Avengers ran onto the field and the ball was a flaming meteor. Otherwise, don't bother. Thank you very much. That's all we got time for today. Have an excellent day in the company of CliffCentral.com. We will see you on Monday. Have a good weekend.
This is CliffCentral.com.